the Ministry of Truth. I'm Gordon Comstock. I get emails from time to time from folks who are wondering about the work I talk about, the work of The Informer and James Montgomery, under the name Knowledge is Freedom. Those two researchers over at ATGPress.com, it stands for AgainstTheGrainPress.com, folks always ask me this or that about what I talk about regarding that work, and I tell them, you know, go read it. Honestly, there's a great deal of it that's online, and The Informer also has books that you can buy. I've bought a couple of them. I suggest you would do the same. The works of James Montgomery under Knowledge is Freedom, I actually printed all of his works up so that I could have them in my hand and read them, and I read through all of the work of James Montgomery. And, you know, I went through a couple of ink cartridges and a lot of paper, but I did it. I suggest you do something similar. If you're able to read on a computer screen for that long, do it. You have to check this stuff out yourself. I can answer some of it, but I don't have a lot of time lately. I got these little windows of time when I can do this. And then I kiss my little girl and go to bed, basically. When I first heard my buddy, the legendary Visigoth, talk about The Informer and interview The Informer, it was one of those times, and it's happened two or three times now to me, where my knee-jerk emotional reaction said, this is crazy. This is too preposterous to be true. I heard this guy, The Informer, claiming that the Constitution was a fraud. The Founding Fathers were the founding frauders. They sold out the Revolutionary War patriots, the people who actually did the fighting, the common man and the Minuteman and all that. They were sold out at the top by the lawyers, by the Jeffersons and the Franklins and even the Patrick Henrys. They were lawyers, and they sold them out. Washington, he was a real estate schemer. It was all about money. And they had assets in England that the king was going to take away from them, confiscate. They didn't want that. So, being lawyers, they wrote a document. Actually, it was written for them in England, and they just adopted it. But the document made it seem like we became an independent country when we actually became a corporation, still subject to London, to the Bank of London, to the British Exchequer, who also is over the King and Queen of England. And there's somebody over them that I think you know who I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what, though. I can do this for you. I will read for you The Informer's... What it looks like is The Informer's latest essay online. It was written in about a month and a half ago. Okay? So you listen to this, you'll get a feel for it. I suggest you go over there, buy The Informer's books, read this stuff, read the work of James Montgomery under Knowledge is Freedom. Folks, this stuff is irrefutable, and I wish it were different. I wish it wasn't true, but what can you say? It's irrefutable. Who are we as Christians? How dare we think that this Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were such godly documents when we know that the best work of men is filthy rags? Mankind is incapable of doing anything virtuous without corruption apart from Christ. And do you ever come across the name of Christ in that Constitution and Declaration of Independence? No. You come across vague references to what might in fact be the Masonic God. Who knows? But it was only binding upon Congress assembled, both of those documents. Yes, both. Both. I'm telling you. Go see for yourself. Anyway, without further ado, here is, from March of 2010, The Entire Patriot Community is Deficient in Knowledge, by The Informer, at www.atgpress.com. The income and all tax scams, from property taxes to sales taxes, is a privilege tax. There is not any argument put forth by patriots since 1976, when I got into this, says the informer, based on this statement and proven by a case I put forth at atgpress.com. I started an article with the question, does this make you liable for an income tax? I did not say it was. I had no proof at that moment in time. I had deduced this on analytical reasoning of facts in hand, knowing the history of banking from 1791 and prior banking in the colonies back to the first Currency Act administered by the British Board of Trade in 1751. Then a further search for that article after I wrote it provided the same information for anything else you pay from sales tax, property tax, and the like. That is why it was posed as a question. Not one so-called tax protester even wrote to ATG Press questioning this or asking any question at all, even after I found the proof for my question. I posted that right under the question in banking. It was titled Use and Transfer. No attorney ever wrote complaining it is wrong, like they always do. So who is the creditor, the real creditor, when the private collecting corporations, IRS, of the Vatican collects income tax? IRS can never be a creditor, and don't let any agency of the corporation tell you any different, as has FMS in cases. There may be up to 4 very well-defined creditors asking IRS to collect the debt from you. Taxes are a debt and can be found on various sites, including U.S. government sites. It is so much debt that FDCPA and other corporation sites actually say an income tax is a debt, subject to FDCPA. I know for a fact, as I have been there, done that, and won a case for a man on the matter. The courts know which one, but the people have no clue. Here are those 4. The Agency for International Development, the BATF, the United States Employment Agency, the Federal Reserve, not in that order. Yes, they all have contracts with the private IRS. For example, the AID in TDO 91 shows that contract. Now let's go to the states. They are basically tied to which of the 4 private corporations named above that have the most influence in state matters. If you said the Federal Reserve, you would be correct. No one in America has ever thought of this. So I guess I am the first to show what many people believe about the Federal Reserve. They are owned and controlled by the Vatican's Black Pope, is why. Technically, he is the creditor. But his front organization, the Federal Reserve, is the creditor. When the Vatican created the states and the United States as his corporations, he also had to create a collecting agency called the IRS in 1861. Remember, the Pope was the first person in history that created the income tax. Proof is in James Montgomery's articles posted here on ATG Press. He also had to lead, through his CEO, which are, of course, the presidents he installed. And so, it was that the Vatican's Bank of England got its foot in the door when Hamilton and Washington created the first Bank of the United States in 1791, totally against the peacetime Constitution. All Washington did was create the War Powers Act to circumvent the peacetime Constitution, which forbade the creation of banks in the Corporation of the United States that you call, quote-unquote, government, that you seem to think was created for your protection. Not so. But there was still a lot to be done. You see, these international people plan 200 years ahead, not like the Americans that plan 2 years in advance. So, fast forward to the early 1890s, when the private Federal Reserve was in operation on the sidelines, issuing Federal Reserve notes about mid-1890s to test the water, so to speak. Yes, history does show Federal Reserve note circulation in that time period, the 1890s. But history books do not show this. What? Do you think they are going to tell you of the impending scam to be laid upon you? Most knowledgeable coin dealers and money dealers will tell you this. They are few, but most other coin and paper money dealers know them. When the Vatican actually reinforced the Civil War, when Lincoln is quoted, quote, "The war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits," unquote. That from Abraham Lincoln. It had in place to now control all banking worldwide. The Pope had not yet controlled the banks that helped the South, and this was the real reason for the Civil War that really wasn't a civil war for black men to be free. They were his corporations, so he could do anything he wanted. The people thought they created the states from the corporate colonies. He did create corporate states, unbeknownst to the ignorant Americans. History books are controlled by the powerful elitists among you. Now shall we proceed to the use and transfer of Federal Reserve notes. From a 1914 Supreme Court case, Wheeler versus Somer, when Federal Reserve notes were gold and silver backed at par. The Federal Reserve operated right alongside the independent sub-treasury with its U.S. note from what you all called the U.S. Treasury. Now, after all that gold was held by the Federal Reserve and Congress abdicated all their power to coin money and set the value, the Black Pope's Vatican decided it was the time to put into place what the Black Pope Peter Becks, 1853 to 1887, of 1861 put into place for this event to take place. The IRS. Please read Going After the Wrong People for a detailed history of what has happened about which none of you are aware, and you may read that right here on atgpress.com. A professional researcher tries not to leave any stone unturned. This is why this is written now to re-advise you. What with the international banking in shambles, don't ever expect to come back unless you keep plowing all their money back into the system by using it, whether checks or cash. Try using coined money and refuse paper scrip that is worthless, as stated on the U.S. Department of Treasury site, And there's a URL address here if you want to look that up. In the year 1921, as shown in my essay Going After the Wrong People, the independent U.S. Treasury, which all states also kept their money and which dealt in specie, gold and silver, was eliminated by the Act of 1920. The private Federal Reserve owners could not control the money as it had planned in 1791. See how long it takes. So people from one generation in the next have no clue as to what is going on. This is why Americans today, and yes, that includes those of you reading this, are so deficient in knowledge and believe the myths fostered on all Americans by the private corporate education system of the corporations that control you. So please do read the 1914 case in Use and Transfer, where the Federal Reserve note was money and met the criteria in the old Negotiable Instruments Law, or NIL, which is now the UCC. That was 1914. And the tangible note was tangible because it was at par with silver and gold and the cent, which is what the dollar is based on. Not the content of silver or gold in the coin. One must read the statements before the Banking and Currency Committee of the 16th Congress Congressional Hearings, where T. Cushing Daniel explained to a dumb Congress what a dollar was. And it was disclosed that the Federal Reserve acts as a sovereign even over Congress, the states, and the people of America. What else is not told to the people, who just love the banks to their own death, is this letter read to Congress at that hearing. I cannot key the whole letter of Secretary H. Parker Willis, dated December 30th, 1916, to Daniel's letter to him stating, quote, "The Bank of England was appointed by the Federal Reserve Board in December 1916 as its agent through the influence of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the central bank of the system, of which Benjamin Strong was and is now the governor," unquote. So you see, people, the Bank of England, controlled by the Vatican in the 1300s, is now the owner of the United States and states. This is a complete turnaround from when the make-believe war of 1776 was fought, so that 200 years later, you are all beholden to that bank again. Taxation without representation. Today, the federal note is worthless, as stated on the U.S. Treasury website. They were at one time tangible property. They are now intangible property. I would strongly suggest you read that case in Use and Transfer. All your income taxes are based on the privilege of the use of the private trademarked Federal Reserve note. That's just what George Gordon says. Bingo. It has a lien on everyone of them the minute they are issued in favor of the Federal Reserve in admiralty law. That property your deed describes, it has a transfer tax applied. It has an excise tax stamp on it. In the case in Use and Transfer, find that you are paying that excise tax for the use of the Federal Reserve note. that is now not even a note under UCC as it was in 1914. It is not a tax on property at all. You are paying a tax for the use of that funny money in transferring that payment in Federal Reserve notes to another U.S. citizen or state citizen having a presumed character, with a capital C, of the artificial person. Yes, it is the same as a sales tax I found in North Carolina. Read this direct quote from the court, from the case, and find it on why you pay a real estate tax. Quote, 30. The provision in the New York Inheritance Tax Statute imposing a transfer tax on property within the state, with a capital S, belonging to a non-resident at the time of his death, is not unconstitutional under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment as applied to promissory notes, the makers of which are non-residents of that state, with a capital S. Buck versus Beach, 206 U.S. 392, distinguished, unquote. You are paying a sales tax for the same privilege of transferring that Federal Reserve note when buying or selling a commodity. It is not on what you buy, but the privilege to use that private note to pay for what you buy. There never is a direct tax. You might think you pay a direct tax, but you never did. You pay a privilege tax. An excise tax that is equal for all. So throw away all the outdated and wrong income tax and traffic arguments you ever used. That is why no patriot has ever won a precedent-setting income tax case, nor a property tax case. Your income tax liability statute is found on the comments in the use and transfer. No attorney, patriot, or otherwise, knows this, and why they, as persons, are as incompetent as they say you are when going to court. By their own law, they are incompetent. Now, why is it called a privilege tax? Well, the con job that you call the Constitution never addresses rights. It only specifies privileges and immunities, and is not for you. You never created that compact. The Paddleford case distinctly said the private common person never created that Constitution and had no right to complain of a breach of contract. That's why all the common people were denied the opportunity to challenge Obama on the presidency. Only the states, with a capital S, could challenge Obama. So all U.S. citizens have no rights and only privileges, which is why they call it a privilege to transfer property to another citizen, with a capital C, and that is a privilege that is taxed, not the property. Same as when you go to work and receive Federal Reserve notes, it is a privilege for the company to transfer your wages in exchange for your tangible property, labor, and are taxed on that privilege of transfer that just so happens to be your liability to use those private notes that IRS collects a portion to return to the Federal Reserve. But those Federal Reserve notes are now worthless paper. As long as the people do not catch on and stop using bills of exchange, Federal Reserve notes that are debt obligations of promises to pay, they will continue to rape the people blind. I have told Americans time and time again, if they want to correct the problem, get the hell out of all banking. But you are too comfortable using what taxes you to death, and even after death, in inheritances and estate taxes. Yes, it is a privilege to die that your estate is taxed to other citizens for the privilege of transfer of the use of those worthless pieces of paper. No patriot so far has ever figured this out. If they had, they would have chimed in long ago when I posted the two articles on ATG Press. The following is from the Wheeler versus Somer case. Quote, 45. The question presented by the contention, this court said, was whether under the statute as interpreted by the Supreme Court of the state, the properties were subject to taxation, and if so subject, whether any rights secured by the federal constitution were thereby infringed. The tax was sustained, but it will be observed that negotiable paper was not assessed at all or dealt with as an entity separate from what it represented. The notes which represented the credits taxed were, it is true, in New Orleans, but in possession of the agent of Stemple, not they, but the rights of which they were the evidence, were taxed. The broad declaration, therefore, that negotiable paper had such tangibility as to be of itself a taxable entity was not called for. The true value of the case and its application to the case at bar can be estimated when we consider the other cases. Unquote. My comments below, says the informer. The Federal Reserve has the right to tax their notes that are the debt obligations of the United States. They had transferred them to you via the company you worked, or, if you worked as yourself, they were transferred to you by a man for whom you did work. You in turn transfer them to others, and no matter where the notes, their situs, as stated by the court, lies in the Federal Reserve System. This is the liability stated in the IRS code if you are a U.S. citizen and a person. It is not 6011, 6012, or 6001, or 26 U.S.C. 1.1-1. They are only supplements to the real liability statute found at the end of the use and transfer article. When you get a canceled check back when paying income taxes, does it not say, pay to any Federal Reserve Bank? That, dear taxpayer, is the real creditor. If the United States was written on the back, and it said, pay to the United States, for example, you would probably be a U.S. employee as stated in Title 27, CFR Section 70.161. This is where, there's a lot of code language here that I'll gloss over. The informer, he could use an editor, but what can you do? He's a one-horse operation, same as me. This is where U.S. and state employees are dumped for collection purposes. See in the Federal Register, page 47604, third column, 27, CFR, part 70, under List of Subjects. That would be the creditor. Okay, on the Federal Reserve, where is the contract, you ask? Well, for most Americans, it is that bank signature contact card. It, in reality, is a 400-page contract. It is not to verify your signature. That can be done in many ways. The other way is simply the use of Federal Reserve notes, and now in comes the supplements if you say, "Hey, I am not in banking." There is a backup. They have thought of everything. U.S. Citizen 26 U.S.C. 1.1-1. Resident in a state for number 2. And how about person in 26 U.S.C. 7701A1? Okay, let's put the double whammy on you when you say, "I am not a U.S. citizen." Ever read the words defining person in 7701A1? Wow! Individual is a term defining the term person. How many times, unknowingly, have you stated that you are an individual on any document, even if it is a Freedom of Information Act request? How about an individual income tax form? Read the term, as it is no longer a word in law. In the Title 5 U.S.C. 552A6, what does the term individual mean? I rest my case. Try as you might to get out, you seemingly cannot do it. But, as I have written extensively on the subject, there is a way out. Believe me, I have used it to get out. It stares people in the face whenever you pick up a Title 26 statute. The IRS spends one-third of Title 26 on the term to use to get out. So much so, I wrote a book on it in 1990. It is called Which One Are You? Oh, I have that book. I bought that book from The Informer. But alas, no one wanted to use it. It was a nasty word, and so foreign, no one wanted to touch it. See how the money changers dupe people into believing one set of terms, and then through words of common meaning, demean the very way to legally get out of all control of the corporations you call states and United States, and they're all capitalized there. What are they operating? Have you ever heard of RICO? That's what they are plying on you. Due to your deficiency in understanding, you are the same as the people Elliot Ness was helping get free of the mafia protection racket, now practiced by the corporation named United States and all its private corporate agencies listed on Dun and Bradstreet as private corporations. So all, and I mean all, patriot and tax protester arguments are absolutely no good. They are so far off point that in less than 45 seconds reading any brief I get sent, I trash it and tell them they will lose. Of course they get angry at me, but hey, it's their ass in a sling, not mine. They can't fathom the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They already know the truth. That is the big lie that has become truth to them. Hey, I am talking to you. Why do you think you are so special when not having a letter from IRS saying you are no longer have a tax obligation? Oh, we need an editor here. And you no longer have a Social Security number as you are a non-taxpayer. Yes, it is an excise or privilege tax. Yes, you voluntarily paid the excise tax. Now, can you see why they say it is a voluntary tax? You voluntarily use Federal Reserve private trademarked notes, do you not? You transfer these notes when buying property, any property from land to baby diapers, don't you? So you voluntarily exercise the privilege of transfer, do you not? As a citizen and artificial person who is resident in the state, and you do so every day of your life. Get in your commercial vehicle with a wallet full of funny money or credit cards. You are transporting small articles of merchandise. End up at Walmart. Transfer those small articles of merchandise for food or a TV. Now, for the privilege, the state takes a sales tax based on the privilege of buying, not on the price, but on the privilege of the products you transferred, the worthless Federal Reserve notes, either directly or by bank credit card. It's all explained in that 1914 case. All terms now, no words used in law. Now, why did I obtain the status of man with a capital M, the non-resident in contract, and an alien, capital A, non-taxpayer, wherein the real creditor, capital C, that you might call the Federal Reserve, comes after you with their private collection agency called IRS. They sent me a letter to that effect. I was not in banking and had no DL, driver's license, or cars registered to me, whereby I used that commercial vehicle to transfer those small articles, Federal Reserve notes, in any transfer business. That Federal Reserve note is what has caused the mess we are all in today, and why the Pope's current CEO, Obama, was placed to protect the banking system and not to protect you, the slave of the private banking system of the Black Pope. I know anyone can read what appear to be words in this article, but do you know there are a mix of words and terms? If you do not know that word and term are two different meanings, I suggest you read terms, not words, on atgpress.com to maybe understand what is said. If you do not understand, that shows how the education system has taken away understanding from you. The best thing to do to stay out of trouble is to understand or be a good slave to the system and pay everything the private corporation tells you to pay. All the courts, quotes, are terms. They have no meaning resembling a word. They use it, they, and. They use words like that. All, but all the key terms like resident, person, non-resident are all terms. I think you all should read this Wheeler case 10 times because what they say is so foreign to your thought process. TCD will kick in quite rapidly. Then you give up and go back into slavery again, thinking it's hopeless. It's only hopeless because of this quote, quote, "Reason and ignorance, the opposites of each other, influence the great bulk of mankind. If either of these can be rendered sufficiently extensive in a country, the machinery of government goes easily on. Reason obeys itself, and ignorance submits to whatever is dictated to it," unquote. That from The Rights of Man by Thomas Paine. What it means is you make it hopeless by your ignorance. You can turn that around, as the Canadian people have done, when they said this to me by mail after using my stuff to get free of Canada's corporate governance. Here is a note from Jackie. Quote, "Person, I probably read that 20 times, maybe more. I went through it with Bouvier Law 1856 in order to get the gist of what was said by the state's hired mercenaries. The state's acts and subsequent codes, parentheses, matrix, end parentheses, always leaves a back door to escape. Most believe the answer is a too complicated affair to involve one's self. It is what you make it. I must admit that once one has got it between the ears, then it just gets easier and easier from here on in. Who knows where it's going to go, but I can assure you this, no one is going to pull the wool over my eyes in or out of court. We must all look to renew our fundamentals, for without them nothing works." Unquote. So, as he says it, you can make it as hard as you want or as easy as you want. Nothing is free and easy. It takes hard work and understanding, as all statutes start at a minimum of 12th grade level of understanding, to some that are just so bad that Einstein can't comprehend what it says. Here's where the informer gets a little hypocritical, because his writing, dude, you need an editor. Ugh. Your information is awesome. You talk a lot about the importance of diagramming sentences, and yet many of your sentences are garbled. Come on, man. All right. It's just about to wrap up here. Just like the 143-word sentence in the first income tax, 38 stat 166 in the very first page. That does not make you liable, nor does it apply to you, as page 202 and 203 states. How many have you read the first income tax, all 37 pages of it? Signed, The Informer, March 6, 2010. For my money, the works of James Montgomery, they both need an editor, as anyone does if it's just themselves doing the work and no one to go over it but themselves. But for my money, James Montgomery needs an editor a little bit less. At any rate, proofreader, that was The Informer's latest article. I highly recommend the work of The Informer and James Montgomery under Knowledge is Freedom at the website www.atgpress.com. You will not, you almost assuredly will not know what the hell is happening to you and has happened to you as a slave in America unless you read their stuff and buy The Informer's books too, why don't you? He has a specific way of doing it, but he goes over that on the website. Do it. I recommend it highly. I'm Gordon Comstock. This has been The Informer's latest essay entitled "The Entire Patriot Community is Deficient in Knowledge." And this has been the Ministry of Truth.